Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. It's time to go get your Bibles and pull up a chair and turn up your radio and become a student in this class. And in this class, what we are discussing is what the Bible teaches about the Sabbath. Now, we're doing this because of the controversy that arose when Jesus healed a woman on the Sabbath day. And the ruler of the synagogue said, "Why, you've got 6 days to do your work. Why don't you take care of getting healed on those 6 days instead of this Sabbath day?" And had very little regard for the relief of the suffering of this poor woman who had had this infirmity for many years. And so Jesus, of course, rebuked them for that. But on that, we started a discussion of what the Bible teaches about the Sabbath day and what is the Sabbath day, and we're continuing that discussion. What we have done so far is given the fact that Jesus did heal on the Sabbath day, exposed the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, and then how God had blessed and hallowed the Sabbath. When the Israelites began to observe the Sabbath, when it was revealed to them at Mount Sinai, the Sabbath was a day of rest. And today, we're going to begin showing that the Sabbath was a sign and covenant between God and the Israelites. This is class session 191 of the Warren County Radio Bible School. And before we begin this lesson, I need to remind you that this Bible school is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And to guide us in this study, we're looking at the notes that were made by E.A. Elam for a Sunday school of January the 7th, 1923. So let's now go to Elam's notes. The point he's making here is that the Sabbath is a sign and a covenant between God and the Israelites. So here's his notes. The Sabbath was a sign and a covenant between God and the Israelites. Wherefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days Jehovah made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Exodus 31, 16 and 17. And in Exodus 20, 12 through 20, "Moreover also I gave them my Sabbath, to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am Jehovah that sanctifieth them. I am Jehovah your God. Walk in my statutes, and keep mine ordinances to do them, and hallow my Sabbath, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am Jehovah your God." This was the covenant and the sign that they were a people for God's own possession, and that he was their God. The Sabbath was not given to other nations. I might inject here that had the Sabbath been given to other nations, it would not have been a sign of the unique covenant that God had made with Israel. You know, you take this, I've heard it illustrated like a diamond ring. Now you take a man and he gives a woman a diamond ring. He says, "Will you marry me?" And he holds out to her a diamond ring, and she accepts that proposal. She'll put that diamond ring on her finger, and that is a sign of the covenant that they have made with one another, that they are going to get married. And it is a very unique thing that she wears his diamond ring as a sign that, yes, she's agreed to marry him. Okay, well, what if this man just gave all the ladies diamond rings? Now, what if he's a very rich man and he just enjoyed giving ladies diamond rings, and there were about 10 or 15 women out there with diamond rings from that man? And this woman shows up and says, look, I've received this diamond ring from this particular man. And all these other ladies say, well, he gave me one too. And they all start showing each other their diamond rings. You know, it would detract from the special token of that covenant, wouldn't it? Well, you wouldn't do that. First, you wouldn't afford it, but even if you could, you wouldn't do that. And so God making a covenant with Israel was showing that he had set Israel apart from all the other nations. It was through this nation he was going to work his plan to fulfill those promises made beginning in the Garden of Eden, that the head of the serpent would be bruised, and extending them through Abraham, that through his seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And then at Mount Sinai, with that nation that came out of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and those descendants of his, he says, I make this covenant with you. And the Sabbath is the sign and the token of that covenant. And so that's special to Israel. And by its very nature, it would not have been given to other nations. Now, he revealed that to them with the giving of the Ten Commandments. And so the next point in Elam's notes is that the Sabbath was the positive one of the Ten Commandments. Of course, there's another positive, to honor thy father and thy mother, and to worship the Lord thy God and him only. Those are all positives. But the Sabbath, too, is a positive of the Ten Commandments. We often think about the Ten Commandments as saying, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. But here, it says, remember the Sabbath, to keep it holy. The Sabbath was a positive law of the Ten Commandments. It tested the loyalty of the Israelites to God. Man sees some reason in keeping moral law and some good resulting from it, and hence a moral law is not such a test of his loyalty to God. There's no reason for keeping God's positive law except in regard for his supreme authority. And hence positive law is a supreme test of faith in God and loyalty to him. In keeping the Sabbath, the Israelites honored God, and in breaking it, they rebelled against him. Among all their sins for which they were condemned, breaking the Sabbath was kept prominently before them as the one that showed that they had rejected God. And in earlier programs, we had read some passages to that effect. Now, Christ's teaching in regard to the Sabbath and the perpetuality of it is given in this lesson. He kept the Sabbath, met with the people in their synagogues, taught them, healed the afflicted, casted out demons on that day, and showed that performing deeds of mercy on that day was not desecrating the Sabbath. At first, the Sabbath was only a day of rest. God gave no order of worship to be observed on that day. Later, under the guidance of the prophets, and especially after the captivity from Babylon, it became a day of worship, and synagogues were built for this purpose. For Moses from generations of old hath in every city them that preach him, and read in the synagogues every Sabbath. Acts 15 and verse 21. We have an example of Jesus doing this in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And he entered, as his custom was, into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And he opened the book, and found the place where it is written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He hath sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, Today hath this scripture been fulfilled in your ears. We have an example of the Jews keeping the Sabbath of far off cities about the Gentile world. There's one in Acts chapter 13, verses 13 through 15. Now Paul and his company set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John departed from them and returned to Jerusalem. But they, passing through Perga, came to Antioch of Pisidia. And they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation to the people, say on. So all throughout the Roman world in the time of Christ and the apostles, in every city where there was a sufficient number of Jews, they would gather together in their synagogues and worship on the Sabbath day by reading from the law and receiving teachings from those that had studied the law. When the Pharisees saw that the disciples of Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the grain fields, and begin to pluck ears to eat, Matthew 12 and verse 1, they complained and said to him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? Mark 2 and verse 24. Doubtless, as some say, the Jews went to extremes in their traditions about keeping the Sabbath, and were quite inconsistent in their practice, as Jesus shows. But Jesus sought not simply to correct these extremes, but to demonstrate that he is Lord of the Sabbath, Matthew 12 and verse 8, and to show his authority over it. After all, the Sabbath came from the Lord at the beginning, didn't it? It was the Lord that revealed the Sabbath law on Mount Sinai, wasn't it? And so he's the lawgiver. It's his Sabbath, and he's the Lord of it. From all the foregoing regarding the observance of the Sabbath, gathering no manna, kindling no fires, bearing no burdens, and stoning the man who gathered sticks, we see that Jesus and his disciples during his personal ministry did not observe the Sabbath as rigidly as the traditions required. Jesus prepares the Jews for the abolishment of the Sabbath. That's the next point in Elam's notes. In this, Jesus was teaching and preparing the Jews for the abolishment of the Sabbath with the first covenant and the establishment of the first day of the week as a day of worship in the second covenant. Jesus answered the complaint of the Pharisees by citing to them what David and his men did when they were hungry. And we can read an account of that in 1 Samuel chapter 21. And reading verses 1 through 6, Then came David to Nob of Ahimelech the priest, and Ahimelech came to meet David trembling and said, Why art thou come and no man with thee? And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, The king hath commanded me a business and hath said unto me, No man know anything about the business whereof I send thee. And what I have commanded thee, I have appointed the young men to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thy hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread for my hand, and whatsoever there is present. And the priest answered David and said, There's no common bread under my hand, but there's this holy bread, if only the young men have kept themselves from women. And David answered the priest and said unto them, Of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days when I came out. The vessels of the young men were holy, though it was but a common journey. How much more then today shall their vessels be holy? So the priest gave him holy bread, for there was no bread there, but the show bread that was taken from before Jehovah to put hot bread in the day when it was taken. We're going to return to that story and discuss that in our next class, because our time's about up for today. You listen for that school bell, and you come visit us at Rock Cliff when you can.